Welcome everybody to On Tap Northwest. We have a special first time ever
first celebrity guest
on the show, and it is Mr. Zane Lamprey. Hello, sir.
When you say special, what are you talking about?
When you say
special, like, what do you mean? What do you mean special? Like special in a good way?
Special in the best kind of way ever.
I'll take it.
Those who are listening who don't know, he is the host of the drinking shows Three Sheets, Drinking Made Easy, Chug, as well as several other ventures, including your new rum company. Yes.
That's right. And I want to tell you what I'm doing right now. I'm building a desk. I had to move offices. And sometimes I like, well, you know what, I used to post, like, I don't know, a random picture of me at the office and stuff like that, and people were just like so surprised. They're like, why do you have an office? because whenever you see me, I'm at a bar drinking, doesn't mean that that's really how the bills get paid. You know what I mean? I have to actually do some work. So I'm in Studio City, and I had to move offices yesterday and disassemble some desks. So rather than sitting around watching my minion reconstruct them, I'm helping out.
Well, hopefully it's not as frustrating as IKEA or something like that.
Yeah. It is an IKEA desk. No, you know what? I have Casey building the IKEA desk. I'm building something that just requires like a few screws. But I am holding an Allen wrench. So that sounds like I know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I just put together an IKEA dresser, dude. My wife did. I didn't do anything.
I don't know. You know, it's funny. I mean, I guess that's how they keep them portable and shippable and keep the cost relatively low.
Yeah.
But they're horrible to put together. And now they have, you know, they have companies that will come over and put your dresser together, which kind of seems like it defeats the whole purpose. But I had a dresser from IKEA. I know this is what you guys wanted to talk to me about. But I had a dresser from IKEA, and I was determined to get this thing done, and it took me an hour. And I'm not an idiot, but I think that the directions just assumed I was either smarter than I am or Swedish. I'm not sure.
Swedish, dude. Swedish.
Have you ever partied with a Swedish dude?
Have I ever? Yes. Yeah, I have. I have.
Nice.
Swedish women, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. As you can tell, this being a drinking podcast, we've already started a little early.
Yeah.
What are you guys drinking?
So we're
in Eugene, Oregon, which is like 2 hours south of Portland. We're going to see a show tonight. And so we did a couple shots of M. Williams, Dream Label. And now I'm drinking a bottle of extra dry Andre California champagne. It's the best champagne on here, even though I don't
the
think
best
it's
of the best, right?
Let's say that.
Yeah.
What are you guys just like taking a break from beer? You're in Portland, for God's sake.
No, I know. Well, you know, now that we're down in Eugene, I'm drinking some Pendleton whiskey and Coke. So that is my drink of choice right now.
Pendleton's like near Portland. I mean, it's in Oregon.
River,
right?
Yeah,
it's
the River. Yeah.
Dude,
not to be confused with,
not
to be confused with Pendaren whiskey. Do you know where that's from?
Pendaren? No.
Yeah, it was like at one point it was only whiskey made in Wales. I'm literally watching Casey holding a piece of the IKEA desk and looking like a deer caught in headlights. Like, you know what? It's that point where you've disassembled the whole thing, and now he's like, you know what? I think I have to take the whole thing apart again and put it back together.
You put all the pieces out on the floor in the middle of the floor, right? So you have all like access.
Well, now his desk is together, and I think he's fearing like he put it together backwards. So all I did was I just backed out of the room. I wasn't part of whatever was going on over there.
Or he put it together too fast, so now he's gonna have to help you.
Yeah, well, he gets paid by the hour, so he's not gonna do it too fast.
So,
no.
Okay.
I was gonna ask you if Casey was hot, but
it's a dude.
I know that now.
Yeah. Hey, Casey. Are you hot, dude? Yeah.
He is.
I don't know which sense of the word. Just answer the damn question. Jeez. You always. I think Chris Pratt, I think you met him at the thing. Casey, were you
we
at the party at the Sassafras?
Yeah, we met
Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt. It's not his real name, but I don't some people call him Kyle.
Oh yeah.
Casey's about 6'5", so I don't know if that's your thing. He's got glasses.
I'm 6'3", Zane, so kind of.
As my friend told me this morning, that means that he's the big spoon.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, good luck on that desk, Casey, the man.
Yeah.
Dude, so Zane, we got some questions, my friend.
Okay.
Yeah, we got a few questions for you, and of course we can just kind of go down the list, but also just kind of keep it talking like we've been doing. But I first wanted to let you have the opportunity to talk a little bit more about your current venture, Monkey Rum, which I know has soft launched in a few different areas, but wanted to see how that's going so far.
Yeah. We launched it almost exactly a year ago. A year ago last week, we launched it in New York.
Nice.
And then basically started to take over Manhattan, and then opened up South Florida, and then Central and North Florida, and then Southern California, and then Jersey. So those are the states we're in right now. And a lot of people ask me, like, hey, why are you in my state? You know, hey, let's list their state or whatever. With a lot of businesses, I think, especially with alcohol and our approach to it is going in, taking ownership of a market, and then expanding. So, like, let's say I go into, like, Chicago, but I don't have anybody in Chicago, right? So I just go in there and meet
like
my sales guys. Well, that's the thing. You need to sign with a distributor and then open up there. But you still need to still need to offer support. You know what I mean? So if I go and sell into a bar in Chicago, it's not like I sell into the bar and then I just leave. You know, I have to work with them to come up with like a drink program, you know, maybe some event where people can go back and just things that like keep us, you know, in mind, and also let them know that we're not just here and then we're gone. We'll see you next year. We want to make sure that we support the community that we're in and do whatever we can do to help them help us and help us help them, that kind of thing. So we're in four big states. As far as like the rum market is concerned, we're in four states, but that's about 40% of the rum consumed in the U.S. So
40 is
that
what you said? 40?
Yeah. 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 40. New York, Florida, California, and New Jersey. I mean,
yeah,
there's a lot of people. Yeah.
Like crazy rum in Florida, I'm sure.
And,
yeah.
And why choose rum over any other type of liquor? Is that your favorite type of liquor?
So at one point I thought I was going to do a beer, but as you guys know, and at this point, everyone listening knows. I mean, both people listening know.
Yeah, there's like seven.
both people and our moms. But like I just feel like I love craft beer. And I love to always try something new. But it's a pretty saturated market, and so many people are doing it right that it's like, let them do it right. I'll drink the beer and then. You know, that's really the relationship I want to have with beer.
That's so tight, man. Yeah.
Spirits make a lot of sense for me. You know, I looked at a lot of categories. I looked at every category. There's like specialty, right? Like Jaeger or something unique and whatever. The catch with that is you're going to spend a lot of time educating somebody. At one point, someone said to us, hey, why don't you make a banana rum? And it was like, okay, that sounds actually pretty good. I'm sure we can make it where it tasted really nice. The catch is that you go, you buy it, you bring it home, and then you're like, wait, what do I do with this? You know what I mean? Like, you now need to educate each person as to how to use that rum. When it comes to like spiced rum and coconut rum, you get it. You know how to use those. You know, spiced rum, usually you're going to mix that with like Coke or ginger beer, you know, with coconut. You're going to use that in your mojitos and all that kind of thing. I looked at like vodka. The vodka market is completely oversaturated. I mean, there's just so many vodkas, and then there's the big guys that are just, you know, by the big guys, it's like, I bet you guys can name 10 to 20 vodkas just right now.
Oh, right. That's a good exercise. That's a good
good point.
All right, go. Go for it.
All right, Smirnoff, Fetka, Burnett.
You put up
Absolute.
You put him
on. I got four. No, he said go. I'm doing it. Can you think of any other?
Yeah,
go
for it. Just keep track.
I just did four, dude. Actually, I'm done now.
Okay, well, so you guys know, you know, obviously you know Metal One.
Oh, of course.
You know,
yes.
you know Grey Goose.
Yeah.
You know Chopin. You know,
yeah.
Belvedere.
Belvedere.
You know Russian Standard. Sky Vodka.
Sky, of course.
I promise you, I'm not looking at a list right now.
Yeah.
But so you get it, and the same thing with tequilas, and then basically the same thing with, you know, gin's not as much, but to some degree, and people have their go-to gin, and then whiskeys, you know, there's whiskey, there's bourbon, there's American whiskey, there's Scotch, there's Irish whiskey, but I just sort of looked at rum as a category that's going to be next, because you could name a few rums.
True.
But the catch is that a lot of those rums are aged rums, 3 year, 5 year, 7 year, 10 year, 15 year, whatever. And the catch is that we're not drinking those. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've literally been drinking. We've all had it. We might not be drinking anymore, but we've all had Malibu. We've all had Captain Morgan. You know, there's Sailor Jerry and there's Kraken. But the market, I felt, was really missing a premium offering to deviate up from Malibu and from Captain Morgan. Those brands are great. I've certainly consumed more than my share of those. But we wanted to make something premium. So we have a barrel-aged spiced rum, and then we have a barrel-aged coconut rum. And they're great, and they're really they stand out in the category. And I'm a rum guy. Like if I'm gonna go have a drink, I love to have a rum and coke or you know, a mojito or a daiquiri or you know, punch or any of the you know, endless
love
drinks fresh. You can make with them. So
well, yeah. And let me tell the listeners for one who has also.
Yeah.
Drinking both of your rums, they are delicious. So
I appreciate that.
Yes,
thank you.
We had a good time a couple months ago. A little bit too much fun, I think.
Well, can you really? Yeah, we did. We did.
Yeah, dude. So okay. What's the next question? I want to know about the drinking jacket too, and how that came.
Well, first of all, I'd like to sort of settle something that I think has been bugging us for a while. My Uber arrived first.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure my Uber arrived first. But, you know, it's okay. You know.
Mine arrived first. Mine was just 100 feet up from where yours pulled in.
He
so,
just didn't listen to what you were telling him.
If you want to go, yeah, if you want a technicality, your Uber arrived to you first before my Uber arrived to me. But my Uber did arrive someplace first.
I think they heard that Chris Pratt was, you know, ordering an Uber. So, you know, they just hurried up a little bit faster.
Yeah, they wanted him to make him walk 100 feet or 100 yards to go pick up his car. Yeah, drinking jacket, hit me.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously I have a drinking jacket, and I love the darn thing. And to be honest, this spring and summer in Oregon has been beyond hot, so I've yet to be able to use it as much as I'd want to.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to see how things have been going since, you know, you did the Kickstarter and – you guys did very well with that. Are you guys looking to kind of expand upon that?
Yeah, so what we did, I mean, look, a Kickstarter is an opportunity to crowdfund something that you would normally not financially be able to undertake. So it also gives you a chance to you know, the fans, like you know, or not necessarily even fans, but people that are your Kickstarter backers like you, helped us, you know, order a bunch, get feedback, and now we're coming out with our 2.0, which honestly is not much different. We just found that the sizing that we did, we could up the sizing a little bit. So we kind of just changed the way that they fit. So I think that they might have been a little too on the athletic fitting side.
Right.
But so we've kind of changed those so that, you know, you don't have to be have an athletic build like myself, you know.
So is there a way to, for people
to... Only thing changed. I mean, like, look, we got, it's funny. I went on to my, my Kickstarter page, and there's like a forum where people can give feedback. And there's like 10 people complaining about the size. And then there's one guy that's like, I had a size complaint too. Obviously everyone has, and da 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 da. And it was just like, you know, we sold 7,126 drinking jackets.
Nice.
And we have 10 people that are complaining about the sizing. That, by the way, we're like taking care of.
Right.
And, but
right.
It's just funny how some people can get like angry. I don't know. There's all kinds of people, but there's some people that like are livid because the drinking jacket doesn't fit. We're like, all right, send it back.
Well, they just need to pump the brakes.
You know?
They need to pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah. Well, or like find something else to be upset about, you know, or channel that.
Global warming.
Channel that energy.
Yeah. Herpes outbreak. Yeah.
Come here. I'll give you a hug.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, it was overall the experience was great. The fulfillment was what's the word, Casey? Like Casey just did a made his fingers into a gun and shot himself in the head. we got 7,000 of them. About 1,500 went to our distributor in Tennessee, so we had to take those, sort those out, and send those. But it arrived on 7 giant pallets in our parking lot at our office. And our office is probably like, I don't know, like 1,100 square feet or something like that. What's that? It was what? 18? All right, sorry. It was 18 pallets, and each pallet was 7 feet tall. So they dropped. The crazy thing is, I had a business trip that was scheduled right along the. You know what? No, it wasn't a business trip, was it, Casey? I was in Ireland. Yeah, I was just having fun. We thought they were going to arrive before my trip to Ireland, and that we would be able to, I'd be able to help fulfill those, and then head off to Ireland and celebrate, you know, whatever. But when dealing with China, it's just like all these logistical blah blah blah, and they ended up being like getting to us like 6 weeks late. Kyle, you remember because I sort of made that speech, and it was just like, hey, I almost didn't have them for the party, and. We had that, the ones to the party actually air shipped over, you know, and we got everything, but I was out of town when they arrived, and
oh,
I came back from Ireland and, walked into my office, and there were two guys fulfilling orders. My office had like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different offices. Every single square foot from floor to ceiling was full. I had to walk sideways all the way down a long hall to my office because it was just filled, and every single room was filled, and there were two guys, you know, fulfilling orders, like putting labels on and stuffing them and putting them in giant mailbags. And I said, why aren't there? I thought we had 3 people today, and he's like, we did. The guy came, we couldn't fit. We literally couldn't fit three people in a 1,100 or 1,200 square foot office. So
oh my gosh.
It was so overwhelming. I think we ended up with an average of about, yeah, it was either 4 to 5 guys a day, and it still took 5 or 6 weeks to do it.
Oh man.
We're still dealing with, you know, there's some people on Kickstarter that never sent us their address. There's some people that like moved and didn't tell us. We got them, you know,
right,
green jacket sent back to us. So it was pretty amazing. In the end, the shipping alone cost me $92,000.
Oh,
damn!
So maybe with this 2.0 deal, you guys have a little bit better idea of how to get it all situated.
Well, with 2.0, they're going from the China manufacturing straight to my fulfillment center in Tennessee. And then they charge a percentage to fulfill, and then I never have to deal with anything. So, that's, it's out of sight of the mind kind of thing. So we're shipping 5,000 hoodies to them in October, and then we'll actually no, we're gonna sell the rest of the version 1.0. with the times there. And so we're starting to sell those on September 1st, and then the 2.0 will get in around October 15th or something like that. So,
and how can people purchase those once it comes time?
So they can just go to thedrinkingjacket.com when the time comes.
Easy enough. Probably
easiest if they're interested, just follow me on social media, and when they're in, I'll make an announcement. So yeah, we're trying to like get into like men's gift guides and anything we can possibly do inside of that time to promote them for the holidays. I mean, that's a big push. It's like, you know, we did it over the holidays, and then our original Kickstarter, people didn't get the jackets until like, you know, April, June. And so it's too warm. But now once September hits and it starts getting a little chilly, it's sweatshirt weather. People start getting
college
the holidays.
Game weather.
Exactly.
It's perfect for.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, we're on University of Oregon's campus right now, so we'll give a plug to them in Oregon State and hopefully get a good following and get a lot
there
of orders up here. So.
That means I have to get them made in green and yellow?
orange for the bees.
So this is me being an idiot. So
no,
where are the ducks?
Is U of O.
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
Okay. We are at University of Oregon, which is green and yellow. But Oregon State, which is just north of here, which is my alma mater, is also black and orange. So.
Got it.
he's a duck, if you couldn't tell. I'm a
no, you know what? It's very Halloween. It's nice.
Yes. So, okay. So, obviously, with a lot of things that you do, you basically have an awesome job, or you have had awesome jobs throughout the years that people are very jealous of. And one question we had for you is, what career or what job are you most jealous of somebody else having?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I'm jealous of my job because I did four seasons of Three Sheets, which bounced around between different channels. So for people who don't know, Three Sheets, I traveled around the world exploring different drinking cultures. I did that, a channel called Mojo. That channel went out of business. Then it was sold to Fine Living Network. That channel went out of business. Then it was sold to Travel Channel. And then Spike bought it from them. So – I did that for 4 years. And then once my contract was up, I called Mark Cuban, who I knew was a fan of Three Sheets, and said, hey, let's make a domestic version called Drinking Made Easy for his channel, HDNet. And he's like, love it, let's do it. And then so we did that for 3 years. And then got a call from him saying, hey, look, I'm changing my network from a guy's channel to a live music channel. You think there's a way you could change your show into live music? And I said, no. Have you ever seen my show? What are you thinking we're gonna do? Sing through the different scenes live?
Yeah, right.
You know. Anyway, so after that, we did a Kickstarter and raised about $600,000 to make a show called Chug, where I would travel around by train and then go to different cities and stuff like that. So we did that and then sold that to Nat Geo, and that aired on Nat Geo, and now Nat Geo is likely not going to do a second season. So now I'm like, you know, I'm a guy looking for that dream job, which is the job that I've had, but I don't currently have. There's always conversations. I actually have a show that I'm talking to CNBC about right now, which is like it's actually a crowdfunding show about helping the, you know, crowdfunding campaigns, which is going to be fun. And different drinking shows and stuff like that. So it's, you know, it's all good. I'm never really lack of opportunities to get on TV and host something, but you know, those drinking shows, I was like, you know, it was like me and my buddy Steve would be like the two of you guys going off and doing a show. And then my wife is the producer, so I didn't ever have to leave my wife, you know, to get yelled
Perfect.
At. Steve did. Steve got in trouble all the time. But like, you know, here we are just going to different breweries, distilleries, wineries, bars, hanging out with the people and drinking and, like, making friends. and it was a pretty damn good job.
So
that's my answer.
Nash, and you know, for those who don't know or that do know, he just mentioned his friend Steve McKenna, which means we all drink. So
Drake.
Oh, true. Very true. Very true.
Dude, so you're not drinking right now because you're putting together.
I am. I am. I'm having a magic hat number 9.
We took.
I was in a storage unit and my offices, and then moved the office into my garage, which my wife was really happy about. And then yesterday, I got a bunch of guys and trucks and stuff, and then moved into my new office. And so once we got into the new office, you know, I had to go out and buy people beer. That's kind of what they expect. And now today, Casey and I are sort of going through, you know, all these boxes and trying to figure out what goes where. You guys on this phone call are just saving me from having to do that. So
wait, what was that last part?
You guys during this phone call are saving me from actually doing work.
Oh, oh right.
Yeah.
So,
you too,
yeah.
Man. We enjoy the break for everybody. So this is anytime you can have a drink at noon is
that's my question, dude. Like, how often are you drinking, you know, when you're not working?
Well, the thing is like, if I'm going around and I'm introducing people to Monkey Rum, they want to have a drink of Monkey Rum, and so we have a drink of Monkey Rum, and that is fairly pretty much a daily occurrence.
Right.
I just got back from Tales of the Cocktail, which is the biggest cocktail weekend or week, whatever, in the country, in the world, actually. In New Orleans, yeah. So I was down there. I don't know if you call that work, but I was down there.
That's just a raging party, right?
It was a really, oh, my gosh. You know, to take me, the 21-year-old version of me, and take him along – with my adventures in New Orleans last week would be ridiculous because everyone has parties. Okay. So I don't know if you guys know like Diageo. So they have a bunch of brands, right? They have a tequila and vodka.
They have Crown
and then Bacardi also has brands along with their rum. William Grant has brands. Pernod Ricard has brands. And so all these big, just, I guess, you know, billion-dollar companies are throwing multi-million-dollar parties to try to outdo each other, and they're just fantastic. You know, it's like,
oh my god,
you know, they'll take a giant warehouse and turn it into a village, you know, or just do these crazy things, and then it's just drinks are everywhere and food and
babes
and then,
everywhere
and beignets. Oh,
and well, no, then those are every night. Then during the day, they do what's called a pop up. So they will literally, like, in the French Quarter, they'll rent out a gallery, right? And they'll take the gallery, they move everything out of the gallery, and they'll turn it into a temporary bar where you go in, and as long as you're on the list or know somebody or whatever, you go in and you just go up and get free drinks. They want to introduce you to their product and talk to you and whatever, and it's a party. And there's just a dozen of those. And then inside the hotel, the Monteleone, there's about 5 pop-ups at any given time, including the pool on the roof. So, like, Jägermeister on the pool, a pool party on the roof, while downstairs there's a tasting going on here, and then there's, you know, whatever. There's lectures and stuff. I didn't really hit any lectures.
you did, yeah.
But every morning, my wife and I went to Café du Mans or Café Beignet and got beignets.
Yeah.
And then there's always a dinner and all this kind of stuff. So it's crazy. I gained 9 pounds.
Nice.
I was there for 4 days.
Oh, that's every man's dream right there.
I'll gain 20 for something like that, bro.
Oh my
well, you know,
God.
You go there and just like, if you kind of do that for a living like I do, you're just like, you know what, I'm going to go to New Orleans. I'm going to have some drinks. I'm going to eat. But I'm not going to overindulge just because let's just, you know, I go to the gym. I try to watch what I eat. But I drink and I eat and I, you know, I have fun, whatever. But, you know, if I'm back in L.A. for a few weeks, which is rare, I'm at the gym every day. It's pretty consistent. And I start to, like, you know, get myself under control. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to New Orleans. I'm just going to pace myself. That lasted literally 20 minutes.
That's my next question, man. How do you keep from getting crazy on those things?
Just, he just balanced. He balanced that, you know. I'm just going. I'm going for a run in the morning or a hike, and then hitting the gym,
yeah,
and then just walking, you know, whatever. And then just, I don't know. He's gotta like, you just gotta like figure it out. And, you know, fortunately, unfortunately, it's a balance of excesses, right? Like, so
totally.
If I'm going out and going to some party and I'm going to have some drinks and food, whatever, it means the next day I wake up, I'm on the elliptical or the treadmill or the bike, or and I just feel like crap, but you just got your power through it and you sweat the stuff out and then, you know, go, get right back
time,
to
man.
It.
It's life.
Nice. So let me switch gears.
Okay.
Let me switch gears a little bit here. Since we do, this is somewhat of a sports show. We do have
somewhat.
A couple... We have a couple.
Oh, is this sports? Is this sports? Oh, okay. Sorry.
Somewhat. No, it's sports on tap. We drink and it's pop culture and sports. So we had a question about, first off, like, what is your, we know you grew up in the upstate New York area, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah. I grew up in Syracuse where Syracuse University was our professional sports team.
Okay.
Growing up, it was like, it was all about Syracuse. Syracuse basketball, Syracuse football. The other things, lacrosse, you know, soccer, whatever, they played those things. I went to like one every 5 years. But like for the basketball games and football games, we would watch or, you know, it's Syracuse. That's like, you know, that's our Buffalo Bills if we live in Buffalo, you know. That's it. Anyone who lives in a college town understands that. Syracuse happens to be pretty much equidistant to like Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo's a little closer, but like, so you got Buffalo teams, you got all the New York City teams, you got Pittsburgh, you even got like Montreal. Like, we're right in the middle. You could pick one if you want. I just never found a reason to really pick one of those. I grew up liking the Lakers. I know, right? I mean, I started following them like at 87, and when you guys were three, and
you're spot on.
I'm
there.
Three.
And don't poop my pants. Yeah.
And so now I'm actually friends with the Laker owners, and you know, I'll go to the games. To be honest with you, didn't go to so many games last year. Last year was kind of a messy year.
Janie Buss and them?
Yeah, so Janie Buss is my friend. There's also Jeannie, and there's also Jim and John, and yeah.
Yeah, right. That's
nice.
That's awesome.
You kicking with them?
Yeah, I'll go to the games and stuff like that, but I don't offer any input. I also got a buddy that plays for the Colts, and like, and so when I watch football, I like the Colts because I like to see my friends play. And so his name's Kobe Fleener. You guys probably know who he is.
He's
on a lot of fantasy teams, and like, and I got buddies that are always like, dude, tell Fleener he's gonna score this week. Yeah, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna do that for you. You dink. We'll talk football if it comes up, but otherwise we're just friends and we talk about other stuff. But like, you know, it's kind of funny that people are like, oh my god, you have to tell him. Oh yeah, what is it? I'll definitely relay the message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Kobe's younger than us young folks.
yes. When I started following the Lakers, Kobe was a zygote.
A little tadpole in his dad's ball.
Yeah, he was too. He was an idea.
He was an idea. Okay,
awesome.
So I know we're getting walking through this, but we had a few more things. We have a couple.
Yeah, it's all right. Go for it. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a couple segments called our rapid fire questions, which Jordan will give us here shortly. Another one is called our man crush of the week.
Oh, Jesus.
So who you're crushing on in the male genre. And then, but before we get to those two last segments, we wanted to talk to you about drinking in Missoula, Montana.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Do I say Tatum Channing now or do I wait? Is it Channing Tatum or Channing Tatum? I can't remember. Channing Tatum. But sorry, I'll wait for the proper time. Go ahead.
As he said, it's I believe it was Jamie Foxx and Jimmy Kimmel. I would like to Channing all over your table.
I'll explain that when we get to the right part. Drinking in Missoula, is that the question?
Yeah. It's just, okay, so we were looking at, like, you know, your past shows and stuff. We saw that you went to Missoula, and I automatically thought of just, like, some of the friends I knew from high school who went off to college in Missoula. And it's like, I know you're going there to get crazy. Party.
Yeah.
You're not going there for any other reason. Like, you go hunting and whatever. Someone went for that. But it's because people get down in Missoula. So
he wants to know about your experience.
Yeah, how was it?
You know, give people an opportunity or a reason to get down, and they're going to do it. But, like, but in Missoula, you know, there's like you said, there's the outdoorsy things, right? Amazing fly fishing, hiking, hunting, all that kind of stuff. But if you're not doing that, you know, besides like doing your classwork or whatever it is, or your work or whatever it is, there's really not a lot to do, especially when school's in session, right? So from fall until spring. The summer's gorgeous. The summer you can find a lot of things to do, you know, including tubing, which obviously people tube with beer. But, like, Missoula is they're dialed in. They like to have – they like to drink. And it's a great place to go for craft beer, but also, like, spirits, but also some, like, really fun – bars. We went to that bar that had a we did a tapeworm shot, which is a shot of tequila with mayonnaise squirted into it.
And then they
also had a basketball court, a small one, but yet it was a basketball court inside the bar.
Nice.
So they're ready to drink in the wintertime.
That is awesome.
Okay. I went to Tijuana once when I was 18, and they had a volleyball court inside that bar, and I thought that was, like, the greatest thing ever, but then I blacked out.
and you come back with all of your organs intact?
I got thrown in the drunk tank, true story. I was in the drunk tank in Tijuana. I was 18, and I was, I was visiting a very nasty, nasty ex-girlfriend in the way that she treated me, not the way that she looked. And if she ever listens to this, I mean that.
Would it be a better story if she was like, if she was really, really nice but nasty to look at, or is it better if she's nasty personality but really nice to look at? I think yours is better. Yours was a good one.
I think mine is better, but I'll make it even better than that with a. She's now a lesbian.
See what you do to people? It's all your fault.
Well, she had boyfriends
all your
after
fault.
Me, dude. Yeah, she had boyfriends after me, so I was her first boyfriend. So, yeah.
You survived a drunk tank in Tijuana. That is no small order, my friend.
Thanks, man. That's a really high compliment coming from you.
it's really scary. It's scary.
It was scary.
Did you have to
it
pay them
scary.
Money to get out of it?
Well, I had to barter with my cell phone, sort of. I just remember being in there. I think I was in there for like an hour, probably. It's not that long, but I just remember like drunken Mexicans puking and college girls crying.
That sounds about right.
They let me out, and then that's when the cab driver, I was like, you need to take me back to the University of San Diego. And I was like, I don't have any money, though, but I'll give you my cell phone if I don't pay you when I get there. And then I got my wallet back or something. I don't know. It was long. It was forever ago.
Wow.
But it was true story, dude. I'm so glad you think that's cool.
It's just a dangerous place. I was on my way back from Ensenada, which is not far from I had to go through Tijuana. And as I was getting close to Tijuana, this cop pulled me over. And he was speaking Spanish. I was speaking English. It was clear to him that I understood what he was saying, and he understood what I was saying, but both of us refused to, like, step out of our native tongue. But anyway, he said, he's basically like, you were speeding. My problem was not that I was speeding. The problem was that I had the nicest car. I when I went down to my buddy's place, it wasn't, like, a super nice car, but it was a Saab, and it was, like, new. And I remember, like, going to the car wash before I went down there because I was going to my buddy's, you know, like, birthday party. And Ensenada, and so here I'm driving this, like, brand new, shiny, black Saab, and, like, you know, my crime really was driving a shiny car, and the cop pulled me over and said I was speeding, even though people were passing me. You know, it was probably 55, and honestly, I was probably going about 58, like for real.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's like, so you can either follow me to the police station, which is in San Antonio, Mexico, which is an hour and a half away, or you can just pay me right now and pay me for the ticket. Like, how much is the ticket? He's like, it's $150. I'm like, I got 40 set aside for assholes like you. And so like, he's like, it's not enough. I'm like, it's all I got and whatever. And I gave him $40 and he's like, okay, I'm going to follow you to the border. And as soon as I took off, he made a big U-turn to just go and pull over the next sucker. But it was pretty amazing. This guy was just, you know, that was his business.
Yeah,
it's quite corrupt. I won't exactly quote Donald Trump on the subject, but
that guy's going berserk right now.
Especially border towns, not the safest places to go.
Totally. So we have this. So we have this segment, and we'll let you go after this segment. But it's a staple on our podcast. It's called the Rapid Fire.
Rapid Fire.
And Jordan spits out questions that I don't even know are coming, and that the guest doesn't even know that's coming.
Channing Tatum.
Well, you might be able to use that in a lot of your. Okay, here's the deal. I was gonna originally have Kyle and you do this, but I think you should just blast this off because the banter that can happen between. Okay, so here's the deal, dude. I'm gonna hit you with these questions. And you say the answer, but if you need to, like, explain as quickly and as funny as possible, okay?
Got it.
And I will cut you off, okay? So, all right?
Yeah, that's fine. That's good. I like it.
So they're everywhere. Okay, ready?
Do I chime in?
No, yeah. you're going to be a – yeah. Okay. All right. Zane Lamprey, rapid fire, what's up? Okay, ready, set, go. Is Chris Pratt better looking in Guardians of the Galaxy or Jurassic Park?
Jurassic Park, good next.
Nice. Oh, okay, cool. All right. And
boom.
You need to go into this and explain why you think he's better.
I don't think I need to. You see, just go see the movie. You get it. He has a better tan in Jurassic Park.
That's absolutely true.
Okay.
We saw on Instagram that you recently went to Crystal, which is, I'm not really feeling Crystal, but that's cool. What do you think is the best late night drunk fast food item in the United States?
Wow. It's honestly, it's whatever's closest.
No,
you know what?
Dude.
It's whatever's open.
Whatever's open? So you'll go.
You know what I was looking for? I was trying to get into Popeyes, but they closed. Popeyes.
Hell yeah.
Popeyes. You just made his day.
Dude.
You just made
All
his
right.
day.
Perfect. Next question. What's your favorite Ben Affleck movie?
Batman.
Boom. Well, that hasn't come out yet, dude. He hasn't been Batman yet.
You know what? I haven't seen it. That's why it's my favorite.
Exactly.
When I see it, it might not be my favorite anymore.
You are killing me so far.
Nailed it. All right. What is more fun? What is a better place to party, legitimately, when it comes to boobs and drinks and everything? Is it Vegas or is it the Hollywood Strip?
Vegas. God, Vegas with 100%. Pause.
All right.
Pause. You know that Ben Affleck is Batman in 5 upcoming movies? Justice League 1 and 2, Batman versus Superman, and Suicide Squad. Okay, next.
Wow, you can do my job. I'm the best on the movie.
Are you sure he's going to be in Suicide Squad? Do you know that legitimately?
Yeah, I looked it up. He's in it. It's a cameo, but yes.
Nice. Dude, you're
dropping
knowledge. Okay, well, all right. I was going to go back to Ben Affleck, but I'm going to keep going. Okay, dude, do you like hush puppies or onion rings more?
Oh, hush puppies.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. All right. Would you rather kiss Tim Tebow or slap Tim Tebow?
I'll slap him. I heard he was
All right. Who's more annoying, Brendan Fraser or Dennis Leary?
Wow.
Answer is clear, bro.
Dennis
Leary.
It's Dennis Leary, although I know you guys want me to say Brendan Fraser.
They're both slappable. So, oh, yeah. Okay. All right. First, this is a leading question, even though this is a rap part. Do you watch golf at all? Do you follow golf at all?
Yes.
Okay, who's the best golfer in the world? What's your favorite golfer? Like, the man.
I'm an old school guy, so, because you can't say Tiger anymore. You're not allowed to because because he's frowned upon. B, because he's just not that good anymore, which is really weird.
True.
All Here's right. what happened. Tiger Woods needs to start having sex with strippers again.
Yeah, right.
Then,
yeah,
then he'll get his God complex back, and then he'll bring it to the course, and then he'll be number one again. It will happen.
Okay. All he needs is strippers. We should start a hashtag.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods needs strippers.
Yeah.
That was a good answer, Zane. But the correct answer would have been Dustin Johnson because he is nailing Paulina Gretzky.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Okay. All right, Zane. I don't know. What, okay.
So that's fine. So I got one wrong. Big deal.
Okay. No. You're still rolling in sync.
Yeah.
And feel if you have a question for us, feel free to jump in.
But no. Okay. So Zane, I'm sure that you're a celebrity. But I don't know where you live. So would you rather live on a small but sick houseboat or a gigantic mansion with a nice view?
A mansion with a view.
Yes.
But
houseboats
are
so mean.
Yeah.
I don't know.
House agenda with all these questions.
Wait, are you saying houseboat or are you saying yacht? Because you can't compare a houseboat to a mansion. You want to say yacht to a mansion? Then I'll take yacht.
Oh, really? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Good like a 150-foot yacht? I'll take the
yacht.
Well,
yeah.
Okay.
But what
all
about
right.
like a really sick houseboat that's in like a really very scenic place? You know, maybe like, I don't know.
What, like in the harbor of Seattle, sitting there waiting for Tom Hanks to come and find you?
Yeah, boom, oh. Yeah, exactly.
I don't think a houseboat can compare to a mansion with a great view.
Dude, that's
that's
you,
true.
You win.
I go mansion, so I agree.
Okay,
all right,
good.
All right, next one.
So I go mansion.
Okay. Boom, that's good. And good reasoning. Okay, is Mark Wahlberg better looking in The Fighter or Transformers 4?
Transformers 4.
Boom. True.
But more so in this new movie he's going out. It's called Stepdads. You know this one?
Which one? What's it called?
It's called Stepdads. It's him versus Will Ferrell.
With Will Ferrell. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
They were hilarious together in that last one. What was that one where they were cops? Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg?
Let's be no.
No, that wasn't Let's Be Cops. But Mark Wahlberg looked his best in Fear.
Oh, that's true.
That was okay. How about Roller Coaster scene in that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. They were both at the top of their game, but they were both children, right?
Yes, they were. That's true.
I typically like older women. Yeah. So that's you know. All right, dude. I got two more. Do you like? Okay, this is a simple one. Do you like shrimp or salmon more?
Salmon.
Okay. If you say so.
Oh, I got another one wrong.
You're a twofer. You're like 11 for 13 right now. Okay.
Yeah,
one.
Pretty good.
Who's hotter, Selma Hayek or Penelope Cruz?
Huh. God, it depends on the day. It depends on the day. Are you saying are you saying today?
I'm saying, okay, name, okay.
Yeah, pick two movies.
Okay, Selma Hayek and The Vampire
and Frida?
Movie.
Selma Hayek and Frida. Or Penelope Cruz in Vanilla Sky. I'm going Penelope Cruz. Done.
Yeah. Nice.
Great way to end that one.
Great rapid fire, man. Very, very well done.
That was fantastic. Oh,
all right, sweet. Well, now we just got one more segment, I guess, right?
Yeah. Now you said now it's a Tatum Channing.
Yeah, you can now say it.
I'm gonna tell you why.
Okay.
Because we were in New Orleans and it was literally 102 degrees with humidity pushing 100.
Oh.
And we were just bouncing around from like, you know, bar to bar or whatever and nothing was really just even the bars weren't cold enough. So my wife's like, let's go see a movie. And I was like, I know what you want to do. She's like, Magic Mike 2. I'm like, fine. and I went and saw Magic Mike 2, and it's hilarious. It's awesome.
Nice.
Oh, really?
It's awesome.
There you go.
It's missing that very uncomfortable bend-over shot from Matthew McConaughey. So it doesn't have that moment, that uncomfortable, oh, my God, moment. But it's pretty funny. It's like – It's almost a guy's movie just because of the way they approach
nice.
The whole thing. It's funny. It's good. So
you know what's funny about Channing Tatum is that Channing Tatum made me forget that Matthew McConaughey was even in the first movie. And you just reminded me of that. You know
who might be the star of the second movie is, I'm going to say his name wrong, but it's Joe, like, Monteleone or something like that.
Montaglia,
what is it?
Sofia Vergara's husband.
Yes, he's known as Sofia Vergara.
Joe Vergara, yeah, exactly. He steals it, man. He is really funny in this one.
That's awesome.
So maybe, you know what? I'm going to make it him. Joe, what's his face?
He changed his man crush of the week.
Wow.
Never been done on this podcast.
Or can I say both? Because that would be fun.
Yeah, you can
say
both.
You can just say Magic Mike.
Magic Mike
XXL is your man crush. Your man crush.
Oh, exactly.
I gotta see this movie.
I know.
I mean, I was gonna wait till DVD, but he's selling it. It's funny, you think?
Oh, go see it. It's funny. All it's right, a good movie. It's one of the better ones out there right now.
All right, quick impromptu rapid fire. What is the most favorite movie you're looking forward to seeing here coming up soon?
Good question.
Star Wars. Stop it.
Star Wars. Of course.
Stop it. Yeah. Star Wars. J.J. Abrams.
So
I'm a little concerned that he's not directing the next Star Trek, but you know, whatever. I think the Star Wars franchise is going to be fun.
That's the only time that I've ever been upset with J.J. Abrams, and I was mildly upset because he was going to leave Star Trek, and those Star Trek movies are sick.
Yeah.
Super sick.
They are really, really good, and fortunately or unfortunately, people have a lot of expectations about the new Star Wars, but you know what? Everything I've seen, and it's... I don't care. Just like, you know, George Lucas was just so much about the special effects and everything, you know, whatever. And I think Abrams is like, he'll still have them, but you're not going to know that they're special effects. You know what I mean? Nothing cartoony and goofy or whatever.
Great
I might be a little bit, but.
Totally.
You know.
He's totally right. I feel the same thing. Even that, they didn't, you know, it was a thing that they didn't release a trailer at Comic-Con, but they released that behind the scenes thing, and that was almost even better. It's like, who cares?
You love seeing Hamill and Ford and all that. You know, it's cool. I'm glad that they stayed alive long enough to make that. Everybody.
Awesome.
So listen, if this show gets more than a dozen listeners, next time you guys want me on, we'll do one. Let's do one around Thanksgiving.
I was just gonna say, you know, if you'd ever love to come back on, we'll give you another rapid fire for
interview,
you.
Man. Great interview.
Done deal. Done deal.
Zane, we really appreciate this. You went above and beyond for us, so we really appreciate it.
Say what up to Casey for us. We'll see you next time.
You got it. You guys kept me from moving.
Yeah, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say Nikki says hello to both you and to Mel. So say hello to Mel first.
Likewise. Tell her big smooch. Tell her that I said to punch you.
Okay.
Okay.
I will. All right.
Give
her
a message.
Later.
All right, guys. Be good. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Okay.
Cheers. Bye.
Just a bachelor, I'm looking for a partner, someone.